Being Reasonable comes to you from the WHUP studios in downtown Hillsboro, North Carolina.
Please fasten your seatbelts.
I'm Mark Solomon, and you are taking part in Being Reasonable, the weekly conversation show that focuses on how we've arrived on our steadfast views and our desire to know what is true. To participate in this friendly collaboration, all you need is respectfulness and an honest interest in the truth. We can all improve the way we form and consider our beliefs, and we can do so by being reasonable.
One, two.
On this week's show, we speak with hypnotherapist Nora Young from Young Hypnotherapy in Pittsboro, North Carolina. Nora believes in the soul. But first, a quick note. My home station, WHUP in Hillsboro, North Carolina, is a unique little station with a far reach. In any given week, we have listeners in over 20 countries. If you listen to WHUP, as you appear to be doing now, then please consider making a donation to our current spring fundathon by heading over to whupfm.org. Being Reasonable proudly supports this effort. And now on with the show. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to any of these.
I haven't. I'm going. Oh, okay. I'm totally winging.
You're going blind.
And that's, well, and I actually like, I feel like it's more interesting for me that way and for the conversation.
Well, this will be unlike a conversation you've had then, I suspect.
Well, cool. I'm way open to that. I love that. I love flying by the seat of my pants.
That's awesome. Well, with that in mind, maybe I'll try something new then.
Cool.
So usually what happens is that people come on the show, as I explained, and they say one belief that's defining or important for them.
Oh, okay.
And I ask them questions about...
And I'm happy to do
that. The belief, how they know what they know.
Okay.
As opposed to the belief itself.
Mm-hmm.
So like how they got there. Mm-hmm. And I really try to... And to my listeners, I think the belief itself is actually less important than how.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that makes
sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people have been... Different people do what I do, and it's just called... The technique is called street epistemology.
Mm-hmm.
And what people have been doing more recently is ask... The person wouldn't actually say the belief.
Mm-hmm.
I would just ask them questions about how they know what they know without knowing the belief.
That's fine.
And then later, if...
I have a clear understanding of the belief that I would be talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And then later, I can start... Then I can introduce you... Then I can introduce the belief.
Uh-huh.
I know this sounds weird.
No, it doesn't.
I know this sounds weird.
No, not at all. Well, I mean, have you looked into what I do?
Well, not so much.
Well, there we go.
I mean, I did, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
This will be fun. We're kind of flying blind here. And so, the reason why is I don't is because I try not to learn too much about the belief before I talk to the person.
Yeah.
Because I try to keep it open and not,
I get
and
it.
Not be
well,
biased.
Well, it can sort of tamp it down, too. Like, when the energy is fresh, you
yeah,
know, it
right.
can really flow and be, like, true discovery and not loaded in any way and not lose some of its zhuzh.
Right. I agree with you there. That's awesome. Okay. So you have your belief in mind, which you would like to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you about the belief.
Okay.
But I will later.
Okay.
So, because I presume you would like to talk about, belief.
It'll just be so intriguing that we can't not go deeper.
Well, we're going to go. It's weird. I think we go deeper first.
Yeah.
And then we go surface later. This is a weird conversation.
It's kind of a hook. It's like it pulls people in because they're like, what the hell is she talking about? How can she know this?
Right.
How can she feel this way?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be interesting. Okay. So, first I'll ask, like, on a scale from 1 to 7, how confident are you that this belief is true, true and real?
To me, it's a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
And on a scale from 1 to 7, how important is it for you to believe in true things, things that are true and real?
That's such a good question. Well, perspective is everything. So a person's perspective and truth is, so without giving away what I do or what the belief is, consciousness is very subjective because it's seen through the eyes of a very of the person who is experiencing it. And yeah. And so truth is true in the sense that human beings experience a universal truth on many levels. Like, we have gravity. We have this house is something that you can live in and that you know that you will pay a mortgage and you can fix up and it'll still be here, you know, as we continue throughout the day. But I do think that truth is a malleable thing.
Okay. Let's start there. That's great. This is perfect. So it seems like that in some respects, if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly, is that you see truth in two different ways. Mm-hmm. That you see truth as this an objective thing that's kind of independent of people. Mm-hmm. And you see no.
Well, I mean, it's hard. Yes. And no. So I do believe sort of in the quantum idea that what the observer is observing necessarily impacts the outcome of what is being observed.
Let me do a thought experiment then to help out.
Sure.
All right. I have this box of Mentos.
I agree. You do.
All right.
That podcast, is our truth.
Podcast over. All right. I have this box of Mentos. And let's suppose that there's either an even or odd number of Mentos in this box. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is. Mm-hmm. I presume you don't know what the answer is.
But
could it be said that there is an objective truth there that doesn't depend on what we believe about it? It's just true?
Yes, it could be said.
Would that be true?
Sure. For the purposes of what you're talking about, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is your belief function on truth like this, or is it function on something, a different kind of conception of truth?
I think to some degree, as a human being, in order to just function, I have to believe in that level of truth.
So your belief is truth in the objective sense, and like, I could choose not to believe it, but it'd still be true.
Potentially,
and again, I don't know what the belief is.
Yes, yes, and we haven't even gotten to what it is.
So I could not believe it, and you could not believe it, and that belief would just go on being true in the world.
Yes, yes, okay. I would agree. Yeah. I mean, so there are sort of fundamentals, like the ocean, you know, is the ocean. It's salty. You know, those kinds of things that I would agree are objectively true. But then when we get into perspectives, so like if you have an event that takes place and then people all like say 100 people witness it, all of those people are going to have a different interpretation
of something that is fundamentally true.
Like it happened.
Gotcha.
But the way that it's experienced and the way that it's viewed and interpreted, totally unique to the individual.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Could your belief be true and not true at the same time?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That breaks my brain a little bit. Given that we just said. All right. So could we have an even number of Mentos, an odd number of Mentos at the same time?
I believe so.
How?
Parallel realities.
Tell me more.
So a parallel reality would be your reality is based on your experience, you know, the experience that you've had, let's say, from the beginning of your life till now. So everything that comprises that interpretation of reality is within you.
Okay.
Right? And so, and everything that's happened within me is within, that I've experienced is within me. So if, and I'm not saying that I know of a reality where that, where your mentos are even numbered or my mentos are odd numbered, but there is a possible, I believe that it's possible to have both.
So it's possible to have an even number, an odd number of mentos in the same,
like simultaneously
box.
In different realities. So have
and
you
there's
ever
no way to test that?
Like in a way, no. I mean, it's have you ever had a conversation, and maybe this is one of them, where your reality is so clear and the reality of the person who's who you're having a conversation with is so clear, but they do not converge?
Well, I think maybe what I'm saying is, well, my perception of reality is probably I'm going
to
say it's probably way off of whatever that true reality is. I mean, it's just my perception.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I'm saying is, it may be way off,
mm-hmm.
but whatever that reality is, we share it.
Yes. Yes.
And that's, I think, what I'm getting to is with the Mentos,
uh-huh.
is that, you know, you may perceive them differently, I may perceive them differently, but, you know, the number is what the number is, and there'd be a test. Like, I could open up the box and count them. And then I may believe that there's an even, you could believe that there's an odd,
mm-hmm.
and we'd count them, and we'd find this objective truth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what we believe about it. But I think what you're saying is that we could still believe even or odd, and we'd still both be correct in that being true.
Yes.
I'm still not with you, but I plan to be.
Okay. Well, and I think that's part of what makes being human very fun and interesting.
Okay.
Because I believe that part of being here as a human being, there are things that we agree exist to be that are true. You know, you like rules and laws. We are agreeing as human beings that these things are true.
See, I'm trying. Do we have to agree on something for them to be true?
Well,
can we
not agree
and they still be true?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But I think the agreement is the conscious human sort of, yes, this is so. Because so if there's a person, say there's a kid who has synesthesia. Have you ever heard of
mm-hmm.
that? So just for people who may not know, synesthesia is where you actually see color in association, like you see sound.
Yeah.
And so the reality for them in that experience is probably unique than, like, I don't see what, like, a C sharp would be. I don't even know if,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
So the perception of sound will be different.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm saying is, in the, even though maybe we perceive sound differently, that in its base core, that there is some wave,
shared,
there's some
agree-
physics, something in physics that mm-hmm. we're sharing, that
right.
we is creating sound.
Right, right. And part of that is, I would say, an agreement of the collective that says, yes, we agree that this is so.
And then I think what I'm saying is that I could not agree that it's so.
Yes.
But I'm wondering if it would still be so.
Yeah. That's something that we can't know.
Okay.
Maybe in this current, like, the way that our intelligence is, I don't know, maybe AI is something that we could ask and have
maybe.
It tell us. I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Let's suppose I go to a store
mm-hmm.
and I buy a box of Mentos.
Mm-hmm.
And the box of Mentos costs $4. I give the cashier $5,
mm-hmm.
and they don't give me back any change
mm-hmm.
because they say it is my truth
mm-hmm.
that I don't owe you any money back.
Right.
Your truth may differ.
That's a great
that
example because I
Would you be okay with that?
No.
So
that is one of those realities where we are in agreement.
So there's
that
a shared.
There's a shared.
It sounds like we're not in agreement, but there is a shared reality that maybe one of us is wrong.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
So I think that's all.
That's a great way of identifying that nuance.
That's all I'm saying. I think.
Yeah.
Is that
no, it's good.
We cannot agree.
Yeah.
On an even or odd.
Yeah.
But I think I'm saying there's likely an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether we, okay.
There's, I would say that is probably the most commonly agreed on collective interpretation.
Okay. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry for the tangent. But sometimes it's good to iron that stuff out before we talk. And again, I don't know what your belief is, but
yeah.
But I'm going to ask you questions about it.
Yeah.
What would you say if there is a primary reason? What is the primary reason why you know, or why you are confident at a 7 that your belief is true and real?
Mm. Ask that again.
So you believe the belief at a 7 out of 7. You're very confident.
Yeah.
And if someone's asking you, hey, Nora, what is the primary reason why you believe the belief?
Yeah.
What would you tell them? What would be the reason, the primary reason why you believe the belief?
Yeah. My work, primarily. But before that, just growing up as a kid who was very spiritually oriented, I was fascinated by ghosts. I had my first spiritual experience as a 5-year-old, where I was visited in the middle of the night by a spirit being.
Okay.
And I called it my light man. And I grew up in a house where that was, you know, my mom was open to that kind of stuff. And I lived in a house that was also haunted. But I wasn't afraid of what showed up in my experience. And so the short of it is, I've always been very fascinated by the juxtaposition of non-physical consciousness and human consciousness.
Okay. So the primary reason why you believe the belief,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be interesting to find out what the belief is at the end, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, you give me a reason,
mm-hmm.
is that personal experience. That
personal
you've had the personal
experience
of your work,
mm-hmm.
and the personal experience growing up and
inner,
having
like an inner
spiritual experiences that way.
Well, I think when you meet people, some people are just very earth-based. They don't think about spirituality, or it's not interesting to them, or they have a religious belief that is basically given to them and they resonate with it and they feel a connection through that sort of orientation. And I just grew up being fascinated with what is beyond. What happens when an animal or a human dies, and what is that thing, that essence, that thing that animates their body that disappears when they're no longer alive?
Could somebody have a very similar personal experience to you, like growing
mm-hmm.
up,
mm-hmm.
and these personal experiences of these things happening and leading them to this belief that you have,
mm-hmm.
could someone have that sort of personal experience and not arrive at your belief?
Sure, absolutely.
Could they arrive at the opposite of your belief?
I would say everyone, well, in my opinion, no one can have the exact same experience of me.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
If they happen
so
to.
In general.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've met
People who
oh, absolutely.
They don't have that. If someone had a personal experience and someone else had a very similar personal experience,
mm-hmm.
and they could arrive at the opposite belief,
mm-hmm.
do you think that's
a different belief? Is it opposite or different?
We could say opposite
okay.
or different.
Okay.
Would you say that reason
mm-hmm.
is a reliable reason to know why your belief is true and real?
Well, I think it is, obviously.
Yeah.
I think personal experience is a powerful reason, you know, way of figuring stuff out. I mean, we all experience through our lens of perception, our own personal lens of perception. I think what I've found is whenever I've looked externally for information about what I've experienced that seems non-empirical in nature, you're going to get opinions, a full spectrum
yeah.
of experiences, from that's not possible
sure.
or that's not scientifically verifiable to I know what you mean to I get it and I've had that experience too.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to understand that you have you're super confident about this
mm-hmm.
belief at a 7
mm-hmm.
out of 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you're confident is, the primary reason at least, is personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And someone could have a similar personal experience and arrive at a very different belief and yet you're a 7 out of 7, like you're super confident and not leaving the door for the possibility, of course, mm-hmm. I'm not saying this case, mm-hmm. I don't know what the belief is even, that the belief could be incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess ultimately, because it is a part of the work that I do, it's sort of the what I marinate in. It's my sort of my worldview.
Yeah.
That belief is a part of my worldview.
You believe the belief because it's part of your belief system.
Yes, it is. It is a part of my belief system, and it's a part of the work to facilitate access to this experience.
The reason why you believe the belief mm-hmm. is that the belief is part of a larger belief.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to understand. I don't know what a belief is. We're talking about something very abstract at this point.
Right.
Well, it sounds circular to me. Like, I believe the belief because of the belief.
I believe the belief because I've facilitated access to it with other people, within myself and within others.
So if you did this thing that you do mm-hmm. that facilitates you feeling the belief more confidently.
Right, right.
And if you kept on doing this thing
mm-hmm.
for 6 months, for a year, and that you didn't have that experience, mm-hmm. would you then have less confidence that your belief is true?
So I would. I would have less confidence. Or I wouldn't know... I wouldn't understand what I understand through the experiences that I've had. So it would be more of a wondering, as opposed to I have experience in this space, let's say.
Tell me more. I'm just trying to understand.
So I mean, I don't want to give too much away.
Because yeah, yeah. We can switch to the belief soon, but I just wanted to understand. Yeah, yeah.
So as a hypnotherapist.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
I work with consciousness. And so part of what I do is to help people access higher realms of consciousness within themselves. And so I don't want to say too much.
Well, so I'm going to assume your belief is in hypnotherapy. Well, maybe tell me your belief.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
My belief is that we have a soul. That we have a soul that intentionally comes to the planet and lives in a human life, and that it's possible to access the knowledge of that soul and communicate with it.
This is good, because then it led me to a question I should have asked. Not knowing the belief. It's interesting. It helps. So if Tommy is sitting next to you
mm-hmm.
and Tommy says, you know, I'm interviewing you both at the same time, having a conversation with you both at the same time, and Tommy says, you know what, Nora? I believe the opposite in your belief. I believe that there is no soul that mm-hmm. inhabits your body.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously believe that there is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a third person, and I really just want to know what's true and real, and like a Mentos thing.
Sure,
If it's true belief, I really do want to believe it.
Right, right.
And if it's not a true belief, I don't want to waste my time with it. I don't want to believe it. I like to believe in true things.
Right, right.
And so, is there a way,
mm-hmm.
hearing you and Tommy discuss,
mm-hmm.
like he has basically the opposite of your belief,
mm-hmm.
is there a way I could find out what's true and real in this world?
Right. So you wouldn't come to me if that was your expectation, to work with me. Because if you wanted to find out what was true from a soul perspective, what is true for you in your sort of metaphysical existential understanding of why you're here, what is your purpose?
Well, soul, like the existence of the soul.
Yeah.
Because I think that was your belief.
Sure. Well, you probably wouldn't be working with me if you didn't believe in a soul. But I would just say if Tommy...
Well, I'm just talking with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and if Tommy... And I'm not saying you. I'm saying Tommy.
Okay.
So if Tommy, you know, was like, I need to have the understanding of what is true, I would say, go for it. You know, that there is a reality in which that is doable to a large degree of satisfaction. I mean, look at the science.
So if I'm listening to both you and Tommy talk.
Yeah.
And it's me who wants to know what's true.
Right.
And Tommy.
Okay.
And Tommy believes it's true.
Right.
And you believe it's true. I'm what I'm saying is I'm trying to be an open book here. I'm trying. Uh-huh. I mean, open book. I'm trying to be a blank slate here.
Right.
I'm trying to just want to believe in what's true.
Right.
Are you telling me that it might bring us back to an earlier part of the conversation that what Tommy believes is true and what you believe is true simultaneously?
Correct. Absolutely.
So there's a soul and no soul.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
We will continue our conversation with Nora Young, who believes in the soul, right after this short break. Returning after a long time away, when I see you, don't know what I'll say. Maybe lies that hide the truth, that we endlessly make the same damn choice. Tomorrow I'll meet you for the first time again, though I would have liked to skip that pain. Remember when we took that train, believing we had the controls. Today, the sun rose tomorrow and the next day, unchanging endless blocks of space that I can't know and I can't erase. Tomorrow it was raining outside, 'cause we've already seen that forecast play out. We're hostage to the things to come, as much as we are to all that's done. Round, going round again, going round, going round again. It's WHUP's Spring Funathon. To contribute, please visit WHUPFM.org and click the donate button. And thank you for supporting independent radio. Are you telling me that it might bring us back to an earlier part of the conversation that what Tommy believes is true and what you believe is true simultaneously?
Correct. Absolutely.
So there's a soul and no soul.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. So like a person can, the access point often in a spiritual session is to go into a past life and then exit the past life through the death scene and then be in the spirit realm. So the person who is in my chair that I've hypnotized is there, present in their human awareness. Yeah. They're aware of their human experience, but they're also recalling an aspect of their consciousness that is of a different time where they're another person in another experience. And then when they die,
yeah,
they go through it and they leave their body.
Uh-huh.
And then they're in the spirit realm, and then that experience shifts even more.
Yeah, and so then, I'm going to presume Tommy doesn't believe that because he doesn't believe in the soul.
Correct.
And
so what I was going to say,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
But there are people who in that lifetime may not believe that there is an afterlife and will have the experience of nothingness.
Okay. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, feel free. I mean, I'm open to questions.
I'm really trying to understand. Yeah. In some sense, you're telling me... this is confusing. Would the soul exist if you didn't believe that it exists?
Yes.
Would the soul exist if Tommy doesn't believe the soul exists?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not contingent on his belief.
Yeah, that's what I'm... So I'm hearing you and Tommy have opposite beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so in one sense, you're telling me that the soul exists regardless of what we believe about it. It exists.
Correct.
But then you're telling me that the soul exists and doesn't exist simultaneously.
No. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll clarify.
Please.
It exists, but our perception necessarily impacts. Even when we've passed from our physical form, we can have the experience.
So the experience. So Tommy might not believe that the soul exists, but news to Tommy,
it does. Exists. Right.
How could I find that out? How could I find out, like, he's saying the opposite of what you're saying. How could I figure that out? Like, because I want to know what's true. Like, what can I do?
Have a session with me.
Okay.
But you would also have to be willing to suspend disbelief before that would happen.
Okay. We'll get to that. That's a great point. And if Tommy says, what you need to do is you need to have a session with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he practices. He practices something else.
Right.
And you'll find out that the soul doesn't exist.
Right.
Am I any closer? What can I do?
I think in the human condition, it's pretty easy to focus on all things human and completely miss the metaphysical nature of us. If Tommy wants to,
yeah,
he can be in that space. I mean, people do it all the time.
Well, Tommy's belief is incorrect. We're gonna assume that his belief is incorrect. We're gonna assume your belief is correct, just for the purposes.
Yeah.
How can we show him? How could we show Tommy? He's a 7 out of 7.
Uh-huh.
He believes that there's just no such thing as a soul, and he's pretty entrenched in that belief. Is there a way we could show him his belief is not true, since we actually know that his belief is
not
true?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of empirical support.
So that we can show
him
some empirical evidence that there's a soul.
You know, there's a vast collection of, I mean, I wouldn't call this necessary, this would probably be more anecdotal, but there are huge, thousands and thousands of accounts where people have had the experience of leaving their human form before, like they've had some sort of near-death experience where they've had this event in their lives that has been super transformative to them, that is... brought them to a place of deeper understanding of what their purpose is here, and their life changes. So there was an activation of who they truly are in that experience that they were able to bring into their human experience. There's the study of consciousness. The Center for Noetic Sciences, they're doing empirical studies on consciousness and perception. And there is at the University of Virginia, there is a Department of Perceptual Studies that is also doing really powerful work.
Yeah, and maybe we should clarify some things, not that we know the belief. And I have to remember to do that. And if Tommy says, yeah, people have these powerful experiences and transformative experiences that need to become a different person, and it's not for, it's for different reasons. I know you think it's a soul, but Tommy says it's for this other reasons. I don't know. And he,
it's energy. It's just, or it's electricity,
or
that
or
he runs the maybe cells
he doesn't,
of the
maybe
body.
Maybe he doesn't even have a metaphysical. He has more of a answer based in the physics realm of why it is.
Right.
Is there? I'm trying to think of like, is there a way I could? Is there a way we could drill down to that further? You know.
I you know, for me, it's hard to parse out because it seems so inextricably linked. Like, what is the energy that?
Well, maybe we should talk about that.
Yeah.
What is a soul?
Yeah, it is. It's an ineffable energy that is conscious. That is conscious. That it has a. Almost like an IP address. It has a knowing of self.
An ineffable energy. It's consciousness.
Uh-huh.
It's a has a IP address that is conscious.
Like an IP
like
address.
An IP it address.
It's not. Yeah.
That's conscious of itself.
Yes. It's conscious of itself. It it also has access to all knowing. And
knowing.
It is a part of a larger whole that we're all interconnected and intertwined with.
Okay. Is it a thing? I mean, is it an entity? Is it like a, like, is it something like you can say this is a soul, or is it something like, is something your conception of a soul, someone can say, well, a soul is completely different than that. They might agree that there's a soul, but it's
right,
something
right. It's possible. I mean, I think it's, it's hard to say because the human perceptual capacity and what the soul is, I think it's difficult. Like, we have a very particular brain that works in a very certain way. And I think when you go into the spirit realm and you're able to kind of extricate yourself from the humanness of your consciousness, there is an agog experience. Like, like, it can be incredibly powerful to be, like, it's a sensory experience. Like, you can feel your connection with all things. People have that experience a lot in psychedelic plant medicine that's been happening, that's coming.
Someone take a dose of psilocybin and then they have those kinds of experiences and they feel that interconnectedness and they feel that change of sense of consciousness or... you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that person say, hey, I felt all those things you're talking about.
Right.
And let's say Tommy does that. He takes psilocybin. He has all those experiences. He says, and yet I believe there's no soul.
Right, right. So, I mean, I don't know where to go with that other than, like, that's...
Well, that's what I think I'm asking is that I'm not trying to...
I'm not trying
to corner you or like
no, and I don't feel, but I think this is something that I get a lot. I mean, this is not an unusual experience for me to have people who
because I really want to know how you know what you know.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's a felt experience.
It's a felt experience.
Yeah, it's something
and
that
Tommy feels something differently.
Yeah, maybe he. I would say that
he feels the same thing.
Oh.
I'm saying with the psilocybin experience, let's say he feels the same thing, but he's come to a drastically different conclusion.
Right, his interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I would, I mean, my point of view, because I've worked, I've had people who wanted to have hypnotic sessions, and you can have you can be hypnotized and not have a spiritual belief whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's just not the work that I do because... I'm a transpersonal hypnotherapist, and the consciousness and my understanding of the way that this type of hypnotic work goes is there is something bigger and broader than us.
Maybe the question is that, you know, Tommy, he's taken a heroic dose of psilocybin, and he's like, he's with you. He's like, oh, there's
he's some, feeling there's, something.
There's consciousness that I don't understand. There's right. interconnectedness that I don't understand.
Right.
There's something out there that we're locked into.
Uh-huh. He's traveling around. He's doing stuff.
He's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
but on top, with all that, he says, there's no soul.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a 7 out of 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. Tommy, what you think?
Mm-hmm.
With a belief like this,
mm-hmm.
and this is just a wonder,
mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you to do this. This is your belief.
No, I'm having fun with this.
Would say like...
We're playing with it.
We are. Would we say like a 6.9 be in a more an appropriate place to be for a belief like this? Because, I don't know, it leaves open the door that, hey... Maybe I'm wrong.
So this is Tommy thinking this?
Yeah.
So Tommy is thinking...
He's a 7 out of 7. There is no soul. I have those experiences.
Right. I have no soul.
I am so solid that there is no soul. And he believes it. He feels it. Like you
he
feel
feels
your...
Like
you feel...
There's
he doesn't
like,
feel it.
Yeah,
he doesn't
no,
feel the soul.
Yeah,
he feels
yeah.
other things.
Yeah.
He just doesn't feel it. You
yeah.
feel it.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel it.
Yeah.
How would... And let's just say... Purposes of the conversation, there is a soul.
Uh-huh.
How,
what do you
wouldn't
do?
Wouldn't you think that 6.9 might be a better spot for him?
Uh-huh.
Because it would open the door for the fact that maybe his belief isn't true.
Well, when I work with people who are... This is sort of my perceptual understanding of this, so that I can work with people who have a tendency to doubt, right? Like,
yeah.
So in a state of doubt... having a hypnotic experience where you're doing transformational work internally can really interfere. And in the hypnotic space, that's called conscious interference.
So having doubt in the belief makes the belief less true to the person.
Yeah, well, it prevents them from having access to their broader consciousness.
I wonder...
It's like a roadblock.
Okay, I'm trying to understand. Help me.
Yeah.
How a strength of a belief correlates to that belief. I mean, maybe it would.
Well, I can break it down for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So in this sort of work, consciousness is not just in the brain, in thinking. It's actually a felt experience. And when you feel sensations in your heart, there is like a portal of energy that expands, that your heart opens. And intelligence is actually flowing through your heart. Intelligence is actually flowing through the cells of your being. It's throughout. And so your imagination is a component in it because
uh-huh.
because getting familiar with a felt experience is pretty unusual. Like people are so used to being in their intellectual headspace
mm-hmm.
that they're not in their body.
Okay.
And so part of getting sort of familiar with accessing expanded consciousness in my work is about getting into the felt experience. But you have to get down to brass tacks, which is like, I don't feel much, right? People who are not in their heads and mostly, I'm not in their bodies and mostly in their heads are often not feeling sensations consciously in their body. So that's one of the first things that I ask them to do is start to feel sensations in their body.
I think you're asking them to believe the belief.
Well, they're having an experience, though. So if I tell you, notice the sensations that are in your feet.
Yeah.
You're having an experience. I don't know what that experience is, but you're having it.
Yeah, I could just see. I guess I'm thinking I could have Tommy do very similar exercise with his clients, whatever his
right.
whatever he practices, and then coming to a different conclusion about the soul. Maybe this is the question then.
Sure. I mean, I think you could. There are people who are very straight ahead hypnotic people who are not doing anything
yeah.
in the spiritual space whatsoever. And they're just like...
They're just doing hypnosis.
Like they're just doing direct suggestion, basically.
Suggestion. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you were to believe your belief at a 6.9 instead of a 7...
Mm-hmm.
Would that have any impact on your life?
I'm trying to imagine what that might be like to have a 6.9 over a 7.
Yeah, would that change anything or not change things? I'm just curious.
The only way I can imagine feeling almost, but not totally, in belief, like 100% in belief, would be to have doubt.
So something wrong with doubt.
Something wrong
with
doubt.
Is there something wrong with doubt?
No, there's nothing wrong with doubt. Okay. It's just doubt from the perspective of having broader consciousness, like expansion into who. So we're having a conversation. Uh-huh. We could have a spiritual experience if we were allowing more of our consciousness to flow through more of our body. So you could say, oh, if we took a bunch of mushrooms and we were having this conversation with mushrooms, there would be a perception of broader consciousness flowing between us. We might even feel and perceive the energy in my energy field and your energy field communicating.
Okay. If Tommy took 5 grams of psilocybin, mm-hmm. and he had a little bit of doubt, mm-hmm. whether that medicine, that mushroom's going to work, is that going to...
I think the mushrooms might kick that doubt out.
Yeah. Right.
But hypnosis is more of like if you don't, so people come in to have hypnotic experiences, but they're a little nervous because they've heard of charlatans who are trying to make them do things that they don't want to do, or maybe they've seen a stage hypnotist that's like, you're not going to make me cluck like a chicken and bark like a dog, right? Uh-huh. Like, people have literally come and asked me to do that. And what I say to them is, you're in control. If you don't believe what I'm offering you, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense? No,
well, it definitely helps, because I think we're getting closer here to how this belief works, and I'm trying to understand. I think I'm getting closer. Thank you.
Sure.
There's this role of doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somehow, that if a person doubts a belief, mm-hmm. or maybe this specific belief, mm-hmm. we talk about that, because not all beliefs, because if a person doubts that, let's say, the psilocybin is going to kick in.
Mm-hmm. And then it does.
It doesn't seem to matter. But a person doubts this particular belief, mm-hmm. it has an impact of this belief being true.
Correct.
Okay.
It does. Think about it this way. I mean, when people are doing, say a person is doing some sort of martial art, right? And they're, uh-huh. they're doing movements, like in karate, they have the katas, right? So people are, if they have a doubt in their ability to perform it, it's going to interfere.
Doubt, so confidence.
So
if people have less confidence in their ability to perform these moves in a martial art, it might impact how well they perform the martial art.
Right, or like when a kid is learning how to ride a bike and they're like...
So if you have less confidence in your belief, mm-hmm. then you may end up having less confidence in your belief.
Are we talking about the belief that I...
Mm-hmm,
that
the soul. If you have less confidence that the soul exists, watch out, because this less confidence may cause you to have less confidence that the belief is true.
It'll just impact your ability to access that knowing. So there's...
Could it work the way I'm saying it? Possibly. So I think what I'm saying is confidence, mm-hmm. is a way for you to believe in your belief more confidently.
I wouldn't agree with that. Necessarily. I mean, to me, that just feels like a weird approach. Like, I'm not really sure, like, where you're, like, what are you trying to unpack there?
I need to understand. But you're telling me that you, doubt was not a good thing for this belief, that to believe this belief, you needed to believe it at a 7 and a 6.9.
Oh, no, that's that. No. So doubt, where doubt is a problem is in the accessing of that information, not in the belief itself.
Tell me.
So I'm making a distinction between a person going into broader consciousness versus just the belief itself. So if you, so a person needs to have confidence that they're going to be able to access this experience and trust what is flowing through for them as true for them without doubting it, because when you inject doubt, it can sort of shut down the internal systems of accessing that information that's flowing from within. So that inner knowing that's coming through. So it's just, it, so the intellect is trying, sometimes will try to make sense of what's happening, and it could be this totally powerful, ineffable experience for the person that is life-changing information. But the brain that is the con, you know, the sort of focused human consciousness of this sort of lifetime, this person's reality, may be doubting what is coming through. And so when they're starting to go, trying to make sense of what's coming through their broader consciousness, it can shut it down.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So it's a belief that gets shut down if someone is expressing to themselves doubt about the belief.
I guess you could say that. I think we're talking about two different states of awareness. So the awareness, the belief is a part of the I guess the conscious awareness writ large, I guess. The belief is, say, like, I go about my day having this belief system and it's fine for me. But if a person is just coming into their understanding of what a soul is, I'm not here to tell them what they're going to experience other than this is how we get there. And then there, and then the information that comes through this expanded state of consciousness is what helps them to formulate their own belief system.
If you didn't have this belief for whatever reason, but you still practice hypnotherapy and you just went on with your life, would you be a different person or would you be the same person?
I'd be a totally different person.
How so?
Because my belief system is inextricably linked to how I live my life. I live my life because I feel like I came here to do the work that I'm doing, and I feel connected to that.
So you might not do hypnotherapy if you didn't have the belief. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe I'd still be an archaeologist.
Is that what you were?
Yeah, I was
archaeologist.
Yeah, as a contract archaeologist, so cultural resource management.
Oh, wow. So you'd be an archaeologist instead of a hypnotherapist, maybe.
I mean, it's so hypothetical,
yeah, sure,
but yeah,
sure.
I think I would be. I'd probably be less confident in my own existence.
You'd be less confident in the beliefs you have.
I would probably be more fear oriented.
You'd be more fearful.
Yeah.
If you didn't have the belief you have.
Yeah, yeah. And I...
So there's psychological reasons to have the belief.
Yeah,
and I'm not
absolutely.
Trying to, I'm not trying to yank your belief away because I don't want to...
I'm not
trying to yank the positive aspects of having the belief.
Well, it's a good thought exercise because I don't think about that very much, but I find that it is absolutely psychologically beneficial for me to have this particular belief system. It works for me.
Before I ask this question, would there be a danger to you if you didn't have the belief? Would there be just something that inside yourself you would feel like you would implode if you didn't have the belief? Or would you just
kind of
go...
No, I would probably find meaning in other ways. You know, it's just this is... So I know plenty of people who aren't spiritually oriented at all, and so they're... belief in being a good person is their sort of their higher purpose, or like being of service to humanity in some way, being charitable, being like just a good person is their motivating guiding principle.
Right. I think with like we can use Tommy as an example again. You know, let's say Tommy has that belief that in a closet in his house, he has, from the floor to the ceiling, stacks of gold bullion. Just gold. He's never checked, but he believes it. And he believes it confidently. And because he believes it, he's a better person. He gives more money to charity. He doesn't have those same kind of worries that other people do, especially about money, because
He
has gold.
Yeah.
And
all of the gold bullion.
He has all the gold bullion. And so I could see a psychological benefit in his case to believe that belief. And that belief might not be true, but I could see it being a benefit. And sometimes the way I see it is that we as humans, and I do this too, is that we may believe in things that are psychologically useful that may not be true. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think absolutely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because we're all just trying to have the best experience here that we possibly can. And there's, I mean, if you want to talk about empirical data, there's plenty of data to suggest that that's beneficial.
Yeah.
You know? And so when we do it, we feel better and people want to feel good. Yeah. And if it helps the outlay of their life and that they have better health, you know, wellness, better relationships, et cetera.
And often I end up my conversations with this question. If your belief happened to not be true, would you want to know it?
Probably not. I probably wouldn't want to know it. Yeah.
From the WHUP studios in downtown Hillsboro, North Carolina, I'm Mark Solomon, and you've just listened to another episode of Being Reasonable. Questions? Thoughts? Connect with us at beingreasonableshow.com. See you next week.
Now that's what I call funky. Enjoy the funk.
Come alive, just climb that stair. time to come alive.